I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Rome and Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM.
All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, I'm going to be starting by telling the listeners all about the Cranky Rock Recreation Reserve Campground.
Yes, great place to stay.
Well, we've stayed there a couple of times.
We have, and there's a wonderful walk to actual Cranky Rock.
Yes.
Yes, and there's also a great 5 o'clock drinks around the fire.
Absolutely brilliant, that.
Now, oh, that's in winter.
That's in winter. But if the lass is there, she will bring around finger food too, doesn't she?
Yes, but I wouldn't guarantee that all the time.
I wouldn't guarantee that all the time, no. And especially if the hubby's on, he's definitely, he'll bring you the wood, but he won't prepare finger food for you. And then straight after that?
You're going to be talking to John from Wade Horses in Bingara.
Right. And then after that, this is a little different. You are actually going to be chatting with Dawn from the Cutting Horse Farm Stay, and that's just out of Tamworth.
Yes, that's right. And then you're going to be chatting to Kerry Kelly, the president from the Tara Camels and Cultural Festival.
Very interesting. I've got to tell you, that Camels and Cultural Festival is a must-see. And even if you're not a gambler, you're going to have a lot of fun watching those jockeys try and control those crazy camels.
Oh, okay.
And then straight after that, Lynn, I'm going to be chatting with Jeff Diath from Checkweight.
And what's this week's subject, Phil?
Well, Lynn, we're actually it's a little bit funny. He's entitled the topic, Shifting the Deck Chairs on the Titanic.
That sounds interesting.
Very interesting.
But I think the Titanic is your caravan.
Well, I guess the Titanic's your caravan, and shifting the deck chairs, I'm assuming, is a bit like shifting your weight around.
Correct, to get it correct.
To get it correctly balanced, yep. Rather than just chucking it all out. Just move it around a little bit, okay? Because that's sometimes all you need. Now, Lynn, before I do this, though, I'd like to play a song.
Right, and who are you going to play today?
I'm going to play a song by Johnny Williamson.
Right.
One okay. of my favourites.
I know.
Johnny Williamson, love the man to death. And the song I've selected, because we don't often hear this on the radio, is a song called Sidey.
Oh, okay.
It's all about Sidey, his left-hand man, which is in fact his daughter.
Right.
Okay, so the song's about this chap and his daughter Sidey, and it's from Hillbilly Road album.
Right, okay.
Now, did you know that was his 17th studio album?
No, I did not.
Oh, come on, Lynn. Surely you must.
Can't keep up.
Do you know it was released in 2008?
Really? That long ago?
That long ago. Yeah. And did you know it went to number 6 on the ARIA charts?
No, I did not.
Oh, come on, Lynn. Now, the album was certified gold in 2009 as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, fantastic album. And it was inspired by Johnny Williamson's retreat in Queensland, Hinterland, and supported with a national tour across the late 2008-2009. Now, did you know that?
No, I did not. So I'm learning something every day.
You're learning a lot about Johnny Williamson. Now, at the Country Music Awards in Australia, January 2009, Johnny Williamson was nominated 6 APRA Song Awards of the Year.
Right.
Album of the Year, Male Artist of the Year, Heritage Song of the Year, Bush Balladeer of the Year. Lynn, I think I better just put the song on.
I think the list goes on, yes.
She walks like her old man, overactive and thin. She laughs at all the same things that make her father grin. She is only 15, no brothers in her clan. And her father calls her Sidey, his right-hand man. She can drive a tractor, or curse a useless dog. Shear a sheep, strain a fence, or cut a 9-foot log. She was meant to be a boy, it didn't go to plan. But a father loves his sidey, his right-hand man. But the boys in the town today are turning their heads. Is that really sidey, that tomboy kid of Ted's? She used to kick the footy, when every race we ran. Ted knew the world was changing for his right-hand man. You won't find her in the kitchen, and she won't make a bed. She'd rather make a sheep crate with the welder in the shed, or just be out there in the bush doing what she can. Just being with her father, his right-hand man. And her mother takes her shopping, it's time she bought a dress. Looking in the mirror, not bad, she must confess. But I'd rather have that pair of jeans and boots if I can. She's still her father's sidey, his right-hand man. And the boys in the town today are turning their heads. Is that really Sidie, that tomboy kid of Ted's? She used to kick the footy when every race we ran. Ted knew the world was changing for his right-hand man. Yeah, her father loved his Sidie, his right-hand man.
Listeners, now I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Cranky Rock Recreation Reserve, okay? Cranky Rock, there's a turnoff. Now, it's 5 kilometres east of Warialda on the Gwydir Highway. The 3 kilometre sealed road will take you all the way to Cranky Rock, where you will find a jumble of giant boulders heaped in the most fantastic positions, caused, of course, by a past volcanic upheaval. Absolutely brilliant place to visit, okay? Now, there's features include a suspension bridge, there's bird life, a wildlife sanctuary, and a viewing platform. Facilities also include a picnic area, a large shelter, free barbecues, there's public toilets and a children's playground. Now, there's a full-time caretaker there, which is, as I said earlier, before we started the program, they run the camping ground, okay? Now, you can get, powered and unpowered sites. And as I said before, there's also hot showers available and toilets available there as well, okay? Now, the walking trails are established to suit either an easy stroll or a more challenging walk for the adventurous hiker, okay? The name Cranky Rock was derived from an old legend which said that an cranky old Chinaman, yeah, I kid you not, jumped to his death from the highest point of the Balancing Rocks after being accused of some wrongdoing. Now, visitors can go fossicking along the creek, and that's a beautiful spot to visit as well. And there are also signs of Aboriginal life, which can be seen within the nature reserve amongst the many plant life. Well worth visiting Cranky Rock, folks, but do make sure that you book ahead, okay? Most important. Now, just to give you a little bit more about the fees there, 2 people for a powered site per night is $20, and you can get a weekly rate of $115. Pensioners per night, 2 people, are only $15. Pensioners per week are only $85, okay? Now, that's for 2 people. Additional persons, okay, 12 years and up, for a powered site is $5. If you're interested in camping and not requiring any power, well, then you can get 2 people for $15 or $75 a week. Pensioners are $12 or $55 a week, and that's for 2 people, okay, on an unpowered site. And additional people up to 12 years of age, again, on the unpowered sites is only $5. Now, if you want any information about the Cranky Rock, please contact the caretakers, okay? Now, get your pencil and paper out. Get it ready. I'm going to give you a couple of numbers. You can get them on 02-6729-1402. Or you can contact the Warialda Information Centre on 02-6729-0046.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here. We're still Roman Oz, and we're in Bingara at Wade Horses Bingara with the owner of the establishment, John Wade. How are you this morning, John?
I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic, mate. It's a beautiful day here in Bingara. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to talk to us.
Happy to.
Fantastic, mate. Tell us about your business. Now, how long have you had Bingara Horses?
Oh, we started operating in 91.
Okay.
Which was a fluke because we got a backpacker bus come through and it was only they needed an activity and we were it.
Fantastic stuff.
We had horses, but we ended up doing a job for those people once they come through.
Absolutely.
And we just kept going from there.
Brilliant. Now, how many horses do you have?
Oh, we'd have 80 now.
80 horses. Fantastic stuff. And obviously all levels of horses, from beginners to real...
Oh, there's no really performance horses in them, but we've got those ones that'll, you know, that are just a nice horse that'll roll along for that better rider and not give them any grief.
Okay.
Can't have horses that are a little bit above anybody.
Okay, fantastic.
So we sort of, you never know who's coming, you see.
Okay.
But there's some nice horses there that are good quality horses.
And I understand you breed horses, is that correct?
Yeah, we've been breeding them all the way through.
Okay. So how many have you bred? How many have actually been born here?
Oh.
That you've bred yourself?
All of them.
Really?
Yeah.
So how many did you start out with?
Well, you always start with one.
Yeah, but, I mean, you said you had a bus of backpackers come through.
Oh, yeah,
so
we would have had 10 to 20 horses here
to
start with.
And you got now 80.
We probably would have had 12, I suppose, when the backpacker buses, then we bought horses, then we've been breeding them from since then.
Fantastic. Mm. Absolutely brilliant.
If I do buy a horse, I'll buy a standard bred, because that's the best horse I can breed a horse from.
Okay.
And they can do this job without giving me any grief.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm very lucky to be able to put my hands on quality standard breds.
That's great stuff. So what about the ability of your riders? Now, for example, what's the youngest rider you've had here?
Oh, four-year-old up the river.
Four-year-old?
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, that would be led out and led back.
Okay.
So that they're safe.
Morning.
Oh,
morning.
Here come some of the girls. There's some of your staff. Hello, ladies.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Now, what about the oldest rider you've ever had? Yeah. Unassisted.
Oh, we've had a, like Mother's Day, you might get the grandmother, the daughter and the granddaughter.
Okay.
78, 80.
78 or 80. There's hope for you yet, Lenny.
Yes,
yeah, they're sprightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were good girls.
They're good girls?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Now, what about if you've never ridden a horse in your
Makes
life?
Makes no difference.
Makes no difference? Tell us how you deal with a person who's never been on a horse before.
Well, we'll just go through our groups and we'll pick out our non-riders first, and then we put them on our extra quiet horses, and the people are matched up to the horses for their riding ability, and then we just go from there.
Okay.
But we'll also, our staff will go along and put a lead rope on anybody that's not feeling so confident, and they'll ride along beside them.
Okay.
And, you know, just teach them a few things. Quickest way to learn to ride.
Absolutely. So how long do you think they'd need that lead rope before they'd be confident enough to...
Oh, that depends on the person. Some people will go all the way out and all the way back. They're just never going to... They might have had a fright years ago, or they're just not that stable.
Okay.
It depends on the person.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Usually we get around everybody and we go... And then the ones that don't want to be left off, we'll just lead them home.
Sounds a bit like you, Lenny.
Yes, it does.
Oh, she'd be fine.
Lynn's been on a horse a couple of times, and, yeah, I think we should come down here one day. Lynn, this place and John, they sound like he's definitely got the ability to turn you into a rider.
Maybe.
Now, what sort of rides do you do? Is it an hour's ride? What are the different...
Well, the one we're doing today is a four-hour ride up to what we call Bora Creek.
Right.
It's four, like two up, two back, and mm-hmm. we'll have lunch up there, then return.
Okay.
But run-of-the-mill, we just do two hours up the river.
Okay.
And they either go for a swim there where we pull up halfway, or they'll light a fire and... Stand around the fire. Depends on what they want to do.
Brilliant.
Kids love the fire and the water.
Absolutely. And you do longer rides too, I understand.
Oh, yes. Well, I've got a property 22K out, so we can ride from the farm back along the river to Bingara or vice versa.
Okay.
Great for the young horses that need a ride.
Need for a ride. Absolutely brilliant. And while you're on the ride now, is obviously you would separate your group, because there's some people, like I can ride, and Lynn can't, for example. So would you break us up into groups and let us do our thing?
If you've got some quality riders or some that want to go a bit quicker, we'll just split those off with one of the staff, and I'll stay with the learners, and I'll send the staff to the better riders, and they'll go for a bit of a race about up there through the bush.
A race about.
We've got some really good tracks up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful up the river.
Okay.
It is, really.
So we don't get to see any Flintstones flying as we go charging down the side of the mountain.
No, no. I won't knock those ponies around. We're on our good tracks.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And so you don't do any overnight rides or campouts? Or?
Every now and then we will. Okay. It just depends on whether it's hot or cold or whether somebody wants to go. If somebody wants to do something, we'll do it.
Fantastic.
We're pretty flexible.
Very flexible. So
it's all fun.
I've got to tell you, and you did say that when you actually go out on a ride, you've got a leader, and then you've got somebody at the back, and there's usually about three.
Oh no, probably more. But we've got staff at the front, the back, and in the middle, and they're floating around looking for somebody that might have their reins wrong, stirrups wrong.
Okay.
Anything that needs adjusting.
Okay.
They're there to just to keep everything right.
Fantastic.
So, they're constantly riding around just to see if everything's okay.
Okay. So what sort of riders do you get? Is it mainly the local people? Do you get a lot of tourists come through here going on rides?
Our business has changed. We were dealing with backpacker buses.
Okay.
They're not about anymore. But we're just getting the families that are travelling inland. They're everywhere now.
Absolutely.
And our business has changed a lot because of that.
Yeah.
So mum and dad and the kids or grandmother and the kids it's just... It's a good job.
Yep.
I love this job, mate.
You love this job, I can tell. I can tell by that smile on your face. I guess, just a silly question, when we had all the issues with COVID last year, 1.5 metres apart, did that affect you in any way or not?
Well, we shut down.
You shut down, did you?
Yeah,
really?
We shut down completely, and then once we got going again, once they opened up the river to campers, it didn't really worry us too much. We had a limit of under 20,
yes,
and we stuck with that. So that's a good group anyway.
A good group's 20. So what's the largest group you've ever taken?
Well, people will think I'm telling lies, but we took 72 horses out one day and 73 the next, back when the backpacker buses were really busy.
Wow.
We had a heap of stopovers. We had a 50-seater bus in and a 20-seater bus, so we pulled 72, 73 horses out of that day, or those 2 days.
That's incredible. I don't imagine 73 on a ride.
But oh boy, were they great horses, because they work 5-6 days a week, and they were good old educated horses. Jeez, they were beauty.
Yeah?
They were a great team.
Yeah.
Great team horses.
So what's the life expectancy of a horse in a place like this?
Oh, to do this job here...
Yeah.
26 or 7, they start to trip over after that.
Okay.
And then, their ability to get up after tripping mightn't be that great, so we don't use them. We just return, let them go out on the farm or we give them away.
And what would be the youngest horse that is suitable to ride?
We don't use them until they're 4 or 5 years old.
Okay. So 4 or 5 years, you just got to feed and fatten them up.
Oh, well, they might be ridden out the farm where I live out on the farm, so we'd ride them out there and then... Okay. The girls, like this young lady here, they'll ride them, but if they're not a good horse, he won't get a job.
No.
We've got a nice little coloured filly down the back there now that's just getting... She's had one ride outside and she'll go today.
Okay. So what do you mean by not a good horse?
Anything that wants to hurt somebody.
Oh, okay.
Or wants to go too fast or shakes its head or, agitated.
Okay.
He's got to be a good, quiet, safe...
Yeah, of course.
A good walking horse.
Absolutely.
Good temperament.
Absolutely, because it's obviously safety's paramount to everything.
Oh, safety's everything.
Yeah.
Most importantly, safety's everything.
Absolutely. And your years with working with horses, breeding horses, you obviously know what's suitable.
Oh, well, what we breed here is we cross the standard bred mares with heavy feathery leg stallions and slows them up, and they're a great horse for this job because they're thick skinned and very good doers.
Fantastic. Absolutely
brilliant. They do a good job, these horses.
And how many rides are you doing today? Because it's a beautiful day.
We're only doing one big one today.
Just one big one? And how long is that?
We'll be 4 hours.
4 hours today.
Yeah, we'll leave about 10:30 and then we'll be back about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Fantastic stuff.
But it's beautiful up the river there now.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. All right, John, well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Mate, it's been really wonderful to meet you and have a look at these fantastic horses you've got here. For anybody interested, listeners, in doing a horse ride in Bingara, definitely you've got to check out Wade Horses, okay? Now, I'm going to play your song, John. It's got to be Aussie.
Righto, mate.
Who's your favourite?
Oh, give me a bit of Jimmy Barnes, mate.
Jimmy Barnes. Mate, you look like a working class man. You're wearing your hat, you got your boots on, your Dreiser Bone coat. How about we do working class man for you? How does
mate,
that
sounds lovely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, John.
Good on you, buddy.
Good on you, mate. Stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz straight after Jimmy Barnes's Working Class Man.
his veins. Oh, he's a working class.
Okay, it's Lynn here, and welcome back to Roman Oz. And I'm with Dawn at the Sunrise Cutting Horses and Hillside Farm Stay. How are you this morning, Dawn?
I'm lovely. A beautiful day.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Was a chilly night, though, I must say.
Yeah,
had to have the heating on.
Yeah, that's Tamworth.
Yes, it is. So now, can you tell me, what is a cutting horse?
Cutting horses are bred to work cattle.
Yes.
And they're a bit like, genetics is like a border collie. They're attracted to movement.
Right.
And the competition is, they cut a cow out of a herd.
Yeah.
And they've got two people turning back to help them and two people holding the herd. And that shows what the horse can do without the rider's assistance.
Right.
Naturally wants to keep the cow away from the herd. So that's cutting a cow out of a herd.
Okay.
Cutting horses.
Right. So who uses your horses? So people come and buy
people
them,
come
do
and buy
they?
My horses. They've got colour in them as well. They're
yep.
all cutting genetics, but they've
mm-hmm.
got colour in them as well. And people buy them for camp drafting, for rain cow horse, for reining, for cutting,
right.
for ranch sorting. All
oh,
the
okay.
cow... The events that have cows in
right,
them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they obviously appear at rodeos and everything as well.
They could, yes. Some
yeah.
people have used them for... Actually, we've got some out there that's barrel racing and some that have used them for roping.
Oh, okay. How interesting. So have you been around horses all your life?
I have.
You have?
Yes. Except for the time I was overseas.
Yes.
I spent 15 years in Canada inseminating cows.
Right.
And working in feedlots. So,
oh, how interesting.
I was still around the cow thing.
Yes.
But but I didn't have horses because, it, you know, I was too busy.
Yeah.
I had dogs. I bred stock dogs.
Right, okay.
So I was trialling dogs in the States in my spare time and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
So you're a real country woman at heart.
Definitely.
Okay, yeah, and you've been around...
Farmer's daughter, for sure.
Oh, right. So you've been around this area, or...?
Yes.
So Tamworth's your home.
Yes, educated in Tamworth.
Yep.
And my father had a farm on the Liverpool Plains.
Right. So, yeah. Okay, and you married a farmer.
No, he's not. No, he was in earth-moving construction in Canada. He's Canadian.
Oh, okay.
And my son's Canadian.
Yes.
So he's working in Brisbane at the moment.
So you brought them back here to Australia?
Yes.
For a better life.
1990 we came back.
So. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. How wonderful. We'll get back to your facilities here, your Hillside Farm Stay. So how long has that been operating for?
I'm not sure how many years we've done that. At least 10.
Yeah.
We had somebody come and phone us and say, can we park in your front paddock for the night with the caravan? And we said, fine, no problem. And they put us on wiki camps, and we've been trying to catch up ever since.
Oh, really?
In facilities and everything.
Oh, okay.
We had nothing until they came and put us on wiki camps.
Really?
People started turning up.
So. Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's how I found you on wiki camps.
Yeah,
we were doing some Googling and thought, well, you want something a little bit different for a change.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is nice.
We met some
rural.
Just wonderful people. Just fascinating what they do and how many years they've been on the road. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, the education they've had and people from overseas and just wonderful.
Oh, that's good. So how many people or how many travellers can you accommodate? Well, or how many have you had here?
We've got, I use 100 acres for the travellers. I mean, I say just pick a tree, you know.
Oh, right, okay.
There's lots of room.
Yes.
So I think Hip Camp has us down as 100 sites, but we don't have any sites as such. But
right.
You know, when we get 30 vans during country music, we can put them in the front paddock under the trees where it's flat. And
so you're popular then for the country music?
Yeah.
Oh, so you've got the booking sheet going?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what facilities do you provide?
We've got a flushing toilet, we've got a long drop toilet, we've got two showers, one indoor and one outdoor, and everybody prefers the outdoor one, showering under the stars.
Yes, I must say I had mine early so it wasn't dark, but I didn't get to see the stars, but it was quite exhilarating being out in the fresh air.
It. Everybody loves it.
Mind you, listeners, there is corrugated iron around it, so you are not exposed.
That's right. It just has no roof.
No roof.
And the sunshine gives you a tan while you're showering.
Yeah, exactly. So for those that are interested in doing a farm stay, where are you located, Dawn?
Well, we're about 8 minutes from CBD of Tamworth.
Wonderful. So
just
you're nice
really
and
close. Yes. And although we do have traffic going into Tamworth morning and night, we're fairly quiet at night time.
Yes.
And, yes, it's 6 minutes to go to town, no problem.
Oh, that's good. Nice and handy, especially for the Country Music Festival.
Yes.
I'll remember that.
Yes.
Okay, so there you go, listeners. The Sunrise Cutting Horse and Hillside Farm Stay for something different. The website's sunrisecuttinghorses.com.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dawn.
Okay, and you find us on Wikicamps and Hipcamp.
Yep, Wikicamps. That's where I found you.
Yep.
Wonderful. So, Dawn, what song can we play you?
I like country.
Yes.
Anything country is fine.
Anything country?
Yeah.
Well, how about something with a little bit of a horse in it? And we'll do the Man from Snowy River with Slim Dusty. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds okay.
There was movement at the station, for the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the Wild Bush Horses. He was worth £1,000, so all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had mustered at the homestead overnight. For the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison who made his pile when Pardon won the cup, and the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could ride beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever horse or man could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins, for never horse could throw him while the saddle girths would stand. And he learned to ride while droving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling, on a small and weedy beast. He was something like a racehorse undersized, with a touch of time or pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye, and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, that horse will never do. For a long and tiring gallop, lad, you'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you. So he waited sad and wistful, lonely Clancy stood his friend. Oh, I think we ought to let him come, he said. And I warrant he'll be with us when he's wanted at the end. For both his horse and he are mountain bred. Oh, he hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hooves strike firelight from the Flintstones every stride, and the man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home, where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but no way yet such horsemen have I seen. So he went, they found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow. And the old man gave his orders, boys, go at 'em from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel them, try and wheel them to the right, and ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills. For never yet was rider that could keep that mob in sight, if once they gained the shelter of those hills. So Clancy rode to wheel them, he was racing on the wing, where the best and boldest riders take their place. And he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with his stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-beloved mountain full in view. And they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread. And the stock whips woke the echoes and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way where Currajong and mountain ash grew wide. And the old man muttered fiercely, we may bid the mob good day. No man could hold them down the other side. When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer. And he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the Flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. Oh, he cleared the fallen timber in his stride. And the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride through the stringy barks and saplings on the rough and broken ground. Down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of the terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain standing mute. saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right among them still as he raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges over the final glimpse reveals. On a dim and distant hillside, the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them single-handed till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur. But his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot, for never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes and the rolling plains are wide. Oh, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride. And stockmen tell the story of his ride.
Oh, g'day, Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz, and I'm at the Tara Festival of Camels and Culture with the President, Kerry Kelly. How are you today, Kerry?
Hello, good, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, first of all. I know you're an extremely busy person. I see you riding around on the trike, and every time I try and wave at you, you say, I'll be with you in a minute, and of course, you don't have time to stop.
No.
You must have a huge amount of responsibility here doing this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to troubleshoot here, there and everywhere.
Yep.
I'm just the one in front of an amazing crew of people that I'm working with. They just make it easy for me, yeah.
And how long have you been the president?
So this is my first year as president.
Wow.
Usually I'm just sort of go to the committee meetings and... but, yeah, this has been my first year and I'm loving it.
But you've been working with the festival before you've been the president. How long have you been involved with the festival?
I used to go to the committee meetings, try and help out here and there if they needed help anywhere.
So how long has the event been running?
So this is our 11th event.
Right.
We have it biannually.
Yes. So why is it a biannual? Why not every year? Because... It's a fantastic festival. Why not every year?
Yeah, well, because it's a fantastic festival,
yes.
It takes us, around about 12 months to get something like this organised.
12 months
up and running. Yeah, it's a big job.
It's a huge event.
Yeah, probably the last, 6 months.
Okay.
Is when, we start meeting a lot more regularly and organising, getting the organising down pat.
So what about the idea? Now, where did the idea come from?
Originally, I did work for the lady that originally started the idea, Mary Youngbury. I worked for her at the Modern Trend.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Wayne Bishop, they come up with the idea.
So was the idea initially just for camel racing? Because they did camel racing here as well as have this multicultural event.
Yeah.
So was it initially, let's do some camel racing, and then these other things came after?
No, I think back in the day it was, it was both camels and culture.
Okay. And how many do you think, because it's been running now for a couple of days, we're on our last day now, how many do you think have come through the gates?
Approximately we would think probably about 10,000 over the whole weekend.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
And you've also got like lots of people who stay for the entire event, because you do organise glamping tents, people can bring their own swag, tent, caravan, motorhome, bus, whatever. So how many sites do you have? Approximately, would you know how many sites?
Yeah, so we usually have around 2,000, but because of the weather this year...
Okay.
We did have to reduce some of our sites. So I think overall, I think we could have maybe about 1,800.
1,800 camping.
Yeah.
But normally you'd have...
Normally we'd have a
over 2,000.
Yeah, roughly.
But the rain kind of upset some of the sites.
Yeah, we had 2 inches of rain, you know, just over a week ago. So that dumped a lot of water here. We're already wet on the ground, so we had to reduce campsites.
Okay, so being multicultural and having it run for 11 years... Do you have any idea what you think you're going to have next year? Because this year you had Korean theme, you had Calypso, and there was Polynesian, and of course you had these fantastic country entertainers. You had the Wolf Brothers, and you also had James Johnson and DJ Bucks at the end of the night. So what about the cultural part? Like next year, for example, have you got any ideas, or still a bit early to tell?
Probably still a bit early. I'm not sure if our... entertainment coordinator Jess would have anything lined up yet, but she does do an amazing job.
Oh,
I've got to say,
we try
to mix it up. We don't,
yes.
you know, mm-hmm. it just depends what's available at the time.
What's available at the time for the booking. Yeah. But and also apart from the entertainment, apart from the multicultural themes, you've also got market stalls in there. You've got vendors with some fabulous souvenirs to take home. Food galore. I mean, multicultural, you've got everything in where food's concerned. So you've really put a lot of thought and planning into this. And, I can understand why it's only once every second year.
Yeah, yeah, it is a big thing to get organised. It's good to see that we haven't run out of food, so that's a good thing.
Fantastic. All right, Kerry, look, I won't take up any more of your day. I know you're an extremely busy person. Before I wind this up, I'm going to play you an Aussie song. Who's your favourite Aussie singer?
Keith Urban. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite Keith song?
All of them?
Yeah. Kerry, leave it up to me. I'm going to play you something really special for you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Kerry Kelly, folks, and that is the Tara Festival and Camels and Cultural Event here in Tara.
Coming on. 7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Welcome back, listeners. Phil C. and the show is called Roman Oz, and I've got Jeff Diaz with us again from Checkweight. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm keeping my head above the water today, Phil, because it just doesn't stop raining.
It hasn't stopped raining every day. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, you think people would be trading their caravans in and buying houseboats, wouldn't you?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, mate. A rainy day at the coast is better than a sunny day in the office.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I agree with you 100% there, my friend. Now, what are we going to discuss on today's program?
Well, it's something when I'm talking to my clients that I say is that we're shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic.
What does that exactly mean, the Titanic?
Well, sometimes, you move the deck chairs on the Titanic, and if you keep moving them to the front of the ship, eventually it doesn't matter because the ship goes under.
Okay.
And I suppose what I mean by that is that, a lot of the times what I see people doing is fixing one problem, but they potentially create a problem somewhere else.
Okay, yep. So, go on.
Yeah, so I suppose the main one I see is, people using the little cylindrical tow ball weighers and getting an average reading or not so accurate reading.
Right.
And then they go about fixing what they perceive as be a problem.
Right.
Okay, so maybe they've weighed it and the tow ball weight looks a bit heavy because they've weighed it incorrectly or something like that.
Right.
Over a weighbridge and use the jockey wheel like we've talked about before.
Yes.
And so they start moving weight to the back of the caravan to fix what they perceive as a tow ball issue.
Right.
And then what happens though is then the tow ball becomes too light and then the caravan starts to sway.
Okay.
So, when you're moving weight around the caravan, you've got to be really thinking about, well, when I move it from here to here, what's the effect on the caravan?
Right.
And I've seen a lot of people who have thought that their tow ball weight was too high, move weight to the back of the caravan, and then it starts to porpoise or, go up and down.
Yep.
If you're a dolphin or a porpoise in the water.
Okay.
And that creates a different problem.
Right. So when you're moving the weight, though, like let's say you've weighed it with one of these super cheap ball weight scales that you can buy, which you did say is not 100% active. They've got an area of, obviously built into what they are, but they're not 100% accurate. So you still are sort of playing, I guess, a bit of a game. What about if you say, okay, I'm 50 kilos over and I'm going to move this object here and I've weighed that and it weighs 20 kilos and you move it to the back. Now, theoretically, shouldn't you now be 30 kilos better off on the ball or what? How do you suggest people move the deck chairs on their Titanics?
And that is exactly the issue because say you've got weight at the, in the box at the front.
Yes.
And then you move it to a box at the back.
Right.
The ratio is not the same.
No.
And I see this quite often where people put 20 kilos on the back of a caravan, so they'll put 20 kilos in the box.
Okay.
As a bit of a general rule of thumb, and every caravan is a bit different,
mm-hmm.
So they're just sort of a guide, is that if you put weight at the back of the caravan, it'll take about 50% off your tow ball. So if you put 10 kilos at the back of a caravan, it'll take about 5 off your tow ball.
Okay.
However, if you put 10 kilos in a toolbox at the front,
mm-hmm.
It'll put around 70% or 7 kilos on the ball.
Ah.
So you see the difference.
Yes.
So when you move 10 kilos from the toolbox and put it on the back, you're actually getting a 12-kilo difference on your tow ball.
But that would show, though, wouldn't it, really? I mean, if you've got your scale there and you go, right, I'm 50 kilos over, and now I'm going to move this object, regardless of whether it changes it by, you may think, oh, I'm going to put 10 kilos on the back and now I've only got 40 kilos on the ball. But if it says you've got 33 kilos on the ball, overweight. Isn't that still okay? I mean, you can stay okay. Now I've got to move something else until you get it, you know, to where you actually want it.
And absolutely, and in theory, that's correct. But what I find is, you know, with my toe ball weigher, it's accurate to half a kilo.
Right.
So if I put 3 kilos on the back of the caravan, it'll change by 1.5 kilos.
Okay.
However, with these little toe ball weighers,
yes.
And they're not all bad, but you just don't know whether you've got a good one or not until you, okay. you check it. I've seen people, and I've done it myself, you know, after I've weighed, I've put 10 kilo weight on the toolbox at the front, mm-hmm. and they don't move because they're not calibrated to a kilo. They go in 10 kilo increments. Wow. So when you put, you know, 20 or 30 kilos on the back of a caravan,
yes.
they sometimes don't even move. The good ones do, but, okay. but a lot of them don't. And that's where I've seen people make mistakes because they've said, oh, I put 20 kilos on the back and it made no difference to my toe ball weight.
Okay.
So just, you know, you've got to be really careful that you're fixing one problem and then, you know, potentially creating another.
So is there any way, you know, you can get around this without, I'm not saying don't go to a professional weigher, but if you're out on the road and you're traveling and you're pick up things as you travel, as you know, you buy your souvenirs, you buy your beer or your wine or whatever. And if you're parked up somewhere and you think, well, you know, I've just bought a heap of things that I'm going to now lug around for the next 6 weeks, I might just check me weights. I mean, is there any way that you can get an idea? I mean, you said they're not accurate to within 10 kilograms, but if you take that into consideration, you're still guessing your actual weight. But it's got to give you a guideline, surely, these cheaper ones. They're really meant for emergencies, aren't they, I suppose? It's not something you'd use as a rule of thumb. I'll weigh me van before I leave home and not touch it for the next 12 months while I'm travelling.
I think that's the point, you know. And I suggest to people, you know, my clients, that, you know, they run over a weighbridge every now and then, mm-hmm. and they use the toe ball weigher as a guide. But yep. if you... are changing things dramatically, make sure that if you put weight on the caravan that you wind it up off the toe ball weigher and then wind it back down. So okay. you're resetting it, if okay. you like,
okay.
Because that tends to be more accurate than if you just put weight on it and it doesn't move.
And just leave it there.
They are a good guide. You know, I'm not saying I've just seen people make big decisions based on their findings and, mm-hmm. and get things wrong.
Wow.
So one of the other things that I've seen, you know, apart from toe ball weight, is that people change batteries.
Yes.
And I'm actually in favour of that, mm-hmm. you know, from a weight point of view. But I think this is especially apt with the hybrids. Hybrids tend to be very heavy on the passenger side because that's where your fridge and your slide-out kitchen is and your awning and everything.
Right.
But the batteries tend to be on the driver's side to balance that out.
Okay.
So if you take two AGMs at 32 kilos out and replace it with one lithium,
yes,
you've probably reduced your weight on your driver's side by about 40 kilos.
Yeah.
So that makes your passenger side even heavier.
Yep.
So those sorts of things, and that's why I think, you know, you just fix one problem, which might have been you're a bit overweight, but then you've unbalanced the caravan.
Yep.
So when you're reducing weight on one side or the other, if you know, if you've been weighed and know that you're reasonably well balanced, or if you're out, think about how you're going to balance the weight. You know, a lot of people put slide outs for a Weber or something like that in a box.
Yes.
And the slide itself can weigh 20 or 25 kilos because they need to be strong because they're sliding out.
Of course.
And then you put this Weber or a little gas barbecue or something on it, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're adding a lot of weight in one particular side, and not balancing it to the other.
And they usually, 9 times out of 10, in fact, I think all the ones I've actually looked at when you're talking about slide out barbecue, are always at the front of the caravan, aren't they, in the tunnel boot?
Probably, except for the hybrids. Some of the hybrids are at the back.
Okay.
And that's, I think, a particular design because they have shared the weight a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, I would agree with you. Like 80% of caravans, mm-hmm. The slide-out is in the front boot.
Okay.
So not only is it putting weight on the left-hand side, it's making your toe ball weight heavier as well.
Okay. Wow, shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic. So there you go. Yeah. Anything else about the Titanic apart from the fact that it sank?
Yeah, well, there's two quick ones.
Okay.
Look, I see a lot of people who find that their caravan's overweight and then they move weight to the vehicle and then end up making the vehicle or the rear axle overweight.
Right.
So be aware of where you're putting the weight in the vehicle. If you move weight from the tunnel boot to the back of the ute, you're not really changing the weight of the vehicle that much because most of it's gone through the tow ball anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, see if you can share the weight by spreading the weight in the vehicle.
Okay.
So, yeah, just be aware of that. And I thought I'd leave with this one, which is can be quite expensive. If you get overweight and then you leave the wife at home to reduce weight, you end up being divorced. So I don't suggest that one as a solution.
That's not definitely not a solution. Definitely not a solution. You can't leave the little wife at home, even if she's slightly larger than what she was the day you married her. It's just not on, is it?
No, that's right. It makes your pocket lighter anyway.
Absolutely, Jeff. Oh, what a way to finish. Mate, what can I play for you in the way of a song?
Okay, well, it is summertime, so let's go In the Summertime with Mungo Jerry.
All right, my friend, In the Summertime. Oh, I love your sense of humour. And we're still trying to work out that pay rise for you, okay, mate? So just hang in there and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to give you something other than a fridge magnet and a bumper sticker.
I thought you doubled it in July, didn't you?
Oh, I did double it and then we tripled it. Yeah?
Another double in January, thanks.
All right, mate, no worries. Brand new year. Stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz. Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a lovely day.
Thanks, Bill. You enjoy the day. Travel safe.
All righty. We'll be back with more of the Roman Oz after Mungo Jerry's In the Summertime.
Sailing in the sea, we're always happy. our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee, da 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 da, yeah we're happy, da da da, dee da da dee da 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 da.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or RomanOz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.